6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running, commit, liftoff.
Good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio, Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. I'm Brad Sykes, here with my co-host Doug McCary. Wednesday afternoon. Doug, how are you, brother?
I'm good. I'm listening to your weather. Well, you were talking about the Weather Channel. You still checking it out over there? That's funny. We're SWAT today. You're talking about that, man. It's you know.
Where are you renewing your mind? On the Weather Channel.
Well, no, but here's the thing. You know, today, when you go to any place, any kind of article now, everything has some kind of, like, link that automatically starts playing advertisements.
I agree.
Whether it's for the Weather Channel, no matter what it's for. And you just open your computer up, and it just starts playing. I hear this voice going on.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, as we often do when we come into the studio, you know, it's not like we get here an hour in advance and do a quick overview of the news, but I couldn't help but notice the Boy Scouts of America will now allow girls to join the ranks of its Cub Scouts program. Isn't that interesting?
They're going to put girls in the Boy Scouts when they have Girl Scouts, but the girls want to be in the Boy Scouts.
Do the Girl Scouts allow boys to come in and be?
I don't know, but if I had my daughter in the Girl Scouts, I wouldn't want her in with boys at the Girl Scouts. The whole idea is to be around a group of fellow girls.
Yes.
I mean, it's funny because Rachel, the other day we were driving, and she's in the back seat, you know, and she said, because her weight is just, I'm concerned with the airbags up front. So she goes, "Dad, will I be able to sit in the front seat when I start dating?" I go, "Yeah, Rachel, you'll be 20-something years old."
Exactly. At least 20.
So anyway, yeah, you know, there's a lot going on. Still got the fires going on out west. I mean, they said they've dumped more flame retardant stuff that they jump out of those airplanes. All the aircraft that are available to fight stuff like that are out there. They still got 14 active fires. Whole cities have burned down. I mean, subdivisions and people, it's just crazy. You know, and I was sharing with the guys this morning at SWAT that I've had people make this comment, "What is going on? Is the end of the world coming?" I mean, everybody's wondering, even seasoned believers who are going, I really think we're close to the end times. I mean, and we've been in the end times since Jesus left us to come back for us. You know, it's just crazy stuff. And I was reading, do you know who Jim Dedison is? I think he used to be at Park City's Baptist.
Yeah, the name sounds familiar.
He is a lot like an Al Mohler. Mm-hmm. He likes weighing in on the culture, and so I get his little thing in my emails. And today he goes, "American churches turned into beer halls," and he writes this thing this article. On the eighth day, man created beer. So claims the Church Brew Works in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A brewery house in a former church building. It used to be a church, but now it's a brewery.
Right.
And this is just one of many bars and breweries that are now opening in former churches across America. And he goes in and he talks about this trend of what used to be a gathering place for believers in Europe has turned into mosque, and all over that. And so former churches in Ireland have been turned into mosque. Former churches in England, France, and Germany are now mosque. These were former places of worship where believers would gather. And, you know, he just makes a statement that now we can lament the post-Christian nature of Western civilization, or we can be agents of transformation. And that's what we want to do at SWAT. Yeah. We want to call guys to be spiritual warriors who are going to advance the truth of Jesus, the truth of the gospel. And, you know, a lot of times I was reading this morning in Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 3. You know that famous passage where God challenges Ezekiel and he says, listen, you are my messenger. You're my messenger. And I want you to give this message to the people.
Mm-hmm.
If you give this message and they repent, then their blood is on their hands. If you don't give this message and they continue doing what they're doing, then, I mean, he said, if you don't give the message, their blood is on your hands.
Yeah.
If you give them the message and they still don't repent, then it's on, you know, their hands, and your soul might be saved. Now, you think about that. I mean, you think about what he's telling Ezekiel. But what really struck me in Ezekiel 3, and I know we're gonna jump into the whole discipleship thing, but I was thinking about this in my own life this morning about how God I told somebody yesterday, I think God took me through the Marine Corps to prepare me for ministry. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says this in Ezekiel 3, and this is God speaking. And he said, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and at a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of foreign speech and a hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you. He's making a statement to him. They're not going to listen, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart.
Mm.
Do you think we have right now a culture with a hard forehead and a stubborn heart culturally?
Big time.
And he goes, behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Just think about that. He's telling Ezekiel, you know what? You're going to a stubborn people, but you don't need to fear them. I've made you a stubborn person, not stubborn in the sense of rebellion against God, but tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've lost a toughness in efforts to show love to people. Mm. We feel like we can't speak truth, and we've kowtowed to political correctness, and we've allowed our culture to silence the church, to silence us, because we're afraid of repercussions. We're afraid of what it might do to our business, what it might do to our friendship, what it might do to our family.
Mm.
And we do not speak the truth. And God calls us as his emissaries, his ambassadors, just like he said to Ezekiel, you go speak my words, not your opinion about my words. Mm-hmm. Don't soften my words. You go speak my words. And I think we have failed to do that. We have failed, and it's showing in our culture. It's showing around us, where the church has now had more influence on it by the world than they've influenced the world.
Well, we want so badly, Doug, I think, to be accepted more than we want to proclaim truth.
Hmm.
You know, it is the idea that it's truth sprinkled, or it's a lie sprinkled with a little truth.
Hmm.
You know, I'll say this so that it's more palatable. It's itching ears, because we know that if we speak truth, we're going to have to deal with the repercussions of that truth.
So
men in the church,
they're not
willing to say, you know what, whatever happens, happens.
Well, it's like you said today, you know, as believers and disciples of Jesus Christ, we're to be growing and reproducing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't begin to reproduce if there's no seed being thrown out.
I keep thinking, Doug, but I wanted to even touch on that today in Mark 4, that there's nothing said about the sower of the seed. There is nothing, there's no adjectives to describe this guy or this girl or whoever it is. It's just a sower.
Just a sower.
And there's no, You know, he's not good looking. He's not, I mean, I don't know, you know, who, because we're all the sower.
He's not, it doesn't say anything about how articulate mm-hmm. or trained.
But that's, I think our programmed mentality in the church is we've got to go find that guy
mm-hmm.
who's going to lead us, you know, and he's got to be a good this and a good that. And, you know, he doesn't have to do these other things that a real shepherd would do, because we don't need that. We need a guy who can just really communicate in a powerful way.
Well, if you're listening today, and you are a professed believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Jesus, you are a watchman for this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And the same words that God told Ezekiel apply to us today. In Ezekiel 3:17, mm-hmm. he says, "Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me." Ezekiel was sent as an example of what God can do in a life when he speaks through a life, and he was God's spokesman. Now, listen, Ezekiel was around 2,500, 2,600 years ago, but yet this book was given to us to point the way to Jesus and to show how God used his people to speak to the culture of their day. And the question is, why are we so content to sit back and not be a voice to say even, hey, you know, do you know Jesus? Are you part of a church? Are you part of a church family? Is that important to you? Is faith important to you? Just to ask questions, to mm-hmm. have a concern. I think about these fires. That image has been in my mind. These fires we see are real out in California, but the fire of hell is coming around all the people that do not know God.
And they aren't going to be dropping any flame.
There's no flame retardant liquid.
There's no quenching that fire.
No, it says the worm, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And so as believers, God calls us to be his emissaries. And the good news is that God's ready to forgive anyone who repents and seeks him. Anyone who repents and seeks him, he will do this for my name's sake. It says in Ezekiel, not according to your evil ways. He calls us as his ambassadors to share this truth. And, you know, when we come back, we're going to review just a little bit about these first three soils in Mark 4. And we're going to look at the three good soils today, the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. I mean, that's encouraging that God would take us and use us. And, you know, I just encourage you to share these messages with friends. Mm-hmm. Tell them to download the app. Go to the App Store on Google Play Store or the App Store on an iPhone and download SWAT Radio and share. I know people that are doing that and sharing it with people. A guy texted me the other day, shared it with my sister, and she heard it. Mm-hmm. They listened to this message.
By the way, one of our SWAT guys walked in, handed me his phone. He said, "Can you download the app for me?" I said, "Yep, we can do that."
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, download it. Join us this afternoon, 904-401-1413 or 844-777-7928, and we'll see you after the break. SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928. Or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, Brad Sykes with Doug McCary, a.k.a. Peter Cetera.
That's from my baby
Cody,
out there.
Cody, thanks for doing that, buddy.
That's from my baby out there. She loves Peter Cetera, man. That's funny.
I love it.
We're in Mark 4, Brad. We've been, you know, by the way, thanks for teaching yesterday and today. It's encouraging to come down there and to hear. I had a guy come up to me after this morning SWAT, and he goes, you know, he taught different, but he's a lot like you. So, I mean, the message is very similar. I said, but it's because we're teaching the word. Mm-hmm. This is not his opinion about the word and my opinion about the word. It is the explanation of what the word means, mm-hmm. and God is quickening your heart to hear that. And that it's so encouraging to sit out there. I was writing down some of the things you were saying, because as we all look at Scripture, God uses, that's why we're a body. This mm-hmm. is a body. Paul uses that analogy. We all have different gifts. You know, you like to write a lot of notes out. I like to outline. But yet, in both of us, it's the heart behind wanting to do this that, to me, gives us the... It's like I've said to you before, it's the one-on-one and the life practical application to me that makes you sharp as any kind of preacher of God's word. Because mm-hmm. if you're not applying it to your own life, mm-hmm. to me, it's going to fall flat.
Absolutely.
You've got to be preaching to yourself.
Well, I was sharing with, I don't think I mentioned this early this morning, but I did this afternoon about... One guy in particular that I've been spending a lot of time with over the years since 2003, he and I've been getting together, and we've been through a multiple books, multiple studies. I'm just thinking of all the various studies we've done, which have all been incredibly fruitful, Doug. Mm-hmm. He's got about 20 years younger than me. He's raising a just the sweetest family, and, you know, he is in the Word regularly. And so when we get together, the time is just amazing. It's amazing. But he, just because of the season of his life, he's very busy. So we wanted to be very good stewards of the time that we had when we did get together. And so I shared today that we have challenged each other to memorize God's Word so mm-hmm. that when we come together, we the first thing we do when we sit down is not talk about, you know, our families, not talk about sports or politics or anything like that. That's not to say we don't from time to time, but the first thing we do is we speak the Word of God to one another from memory. Mm. And I'll be honest, there's been times where I've stumbled all over it, you know, and him as well.
It's because you're getting old.
Yeah, well, exactly. That memory isn't there. But what's really cool about it is that once we've done it, it just immediately is like a launching pad to talk about how that word applies to us. And I shared that we were looking at Colossians 1:18, mm-hmm. you know, and just, man, I mean, that word is literally on my mouth right now, you know, and it's so true today in our world.
The preeminence, the preeminence you spoke of, it's something that we really... You know, I think we don't like talking about it because it brings so much conviction in our life when we talk about that. And we're going to look at that next week, this preeminence of Christ from Colossians 1:18. But that, again, is you taking what God is doing in your own life personally, mm-hmm. as you're working through the Word, and then applying that as you teach, mm-hmm. and God gives you opportunities. I'm so convinced that's what the disciples did. They just went from town to town, and they spent time in the Scriptures, mm-hmm. I believe they spent time, meditating and, yeah. and thinking about how mm-hmm. Christ fulfilled those mm-hmm. Old Testament prophecies. But then they just preached, Jesus is the Christ. He's the one. This is the one we've been looking for. Repent. Turn from your idols. Turn to him. You know, and they applied these. You know, Paul to say, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith over and over again. Not once, not twice, three or four different times in his letters to three different groups of people. It was evident that the cost of following Jesus and the fruitfulness that should be evident in your life was something that we should always be evaluating. Listen, have you ever planted a garden?
I have.
All right. What would happen if you just planted it and you never tended to it, you never watched it, you never did anything? Who does that?
Nobody. Well, I mean
it's people that want a dead plant.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. If a gardener plants a seed and then waters it, or make sure it gets watered, checks for weeds, checks for bugs. They watch it and cultivate it. And God does that in our lives. And you know what I was sharing with one of my daughters earlier? When God brings people into your life and they speak truth to you, his truth, sometimes we don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have talked a lot of times about how uncomfortable it is for men to be vulnerable with people and to allow people to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And when we speak truth to people, it's uncomfortable on both ends. Sometimes, you know, when you're speaking it to somebody, one, because like you and I, we've talked, we know we've blown it in this area. And so to go in there and to try to point it out to somebody, sometimes you're afraid you're going to be perceived as judgmental, and it's not judgmental at all. It's loving. It's really loving to point out, listen, this is not going to end well if you continue down this path.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Jesus lays out for the disciples in Mark chapter 4 is that there are going to be six types of soil out there. That's really the focus. I mean, what Jesus is doing here is there's six types of soil. There's three bad, three good. And we talked about them the other day. We talked about the hard heart, which is the path that the bird comes along and eats a seed. And he said, these are indifferent people. Satan has blinded them. You want to know why somebody doesn't believe? 2 Corinthians 4, Satan has blinded them mm-hmm. to it. The second is the superficial. It's that rocky soil that the big lime rock underneath where there's just a little bit of good soil on top, but it can't get deep. There's this quick response, this superficial response to the gospel where somebody just emotionally maybe. This is why it's such a problem with what we do sometimes. There have been people who have been emotionally manipulated into raising a hand, confessing, reading a prayer. And they, I don't know if you remember us talking about this. Could you imagine, let's say for a second, a guy comes up to you and he goes, Brad, I've committed adultery and I don't know what to do. You know, my wife knows and I don't know what to do about it. And you talk to him and he says, you know what? I really want to be restored. And you tell him, well, you need to tell her you're sorry. You need to go up and ask her to forgive you, and you need to show her you're changed, that you don't want to do mm-hmm. that anymore. Mm-hmm. And he says, will you come with me? And you say, well, I can, but I mean, really, that's something that you should do on your own with her. But I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. Will you come with me? And so you go with him, and he goes up there and he says, okay, you need to tell me what to say because I don't know what to say. And so I don't know if that's really the best thing to do. Well, yeah, but I don't know what to say. All right. And so he leans on you to say it. And you go with him. He knocks on the door. She opens up. And you go, okay, tell her that you're sorry. Honey, I'm really sorry. Tell her that you never want to do that again. I never want to do that again. What is the wife thinking?
This isn't you.
Yeah, this
you're not truly repentant.
Exactly. And so why do we lead people mm-hmm. into these kind of prayers to receive Jesus?
And give them a
Have
false
you ever
hope.
I mean, that sounds mm-hmm. like people leading people in a prayer.
Totally.
And what it is, well, they don't know what to do. Listen, do you they just call out to Jesus? They call out to him. Just like the thief, he didn't pray some fancy long prayer with specific points that he had to have. He said, Jesus, remember me today. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. He called out. Call out to Jesus. And so I just think we have really done a disservice in trying to put words into people's mouth. And so I've gotten to where I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I say, you know what? Tell God in your own words. You know, you need to tell him.
Well, and I think we owe it to them to really understand it. And, you know, like I said, it's almost like this badge we're looking for to be able to say, I led somebody to Christ. Well, good for you. I mean, no, really, God drew him to himself, if that's really what happened. He just used
you. He used you as an ambassador and a mouthpiece and an instrument.
But listen, I think we, as you said, we're doing a disservice to those men and women that we don't really talk through this so that they understand the gospel.
Well, and they don't understand that the gospel is about transformation. It's not about transportation. Mm-hmm. Most people think it's about transportation to heaven. I'm getting that heavenly transport. But no, it's about transformation. It's not a refurbishing. It's a complete breakdown and rebuild. It's the Holy Spirit comes into you, changes you, and you have new values. You have new goals. You have a new boss. Mm-hmm. You're not your boss anymore. He's your boss. He's Lord, and he always has been Lord. You just have not acknowledged it. You've lived in rebellion, and like Ezekiel told the Israelites, you need to repent. You need to turn, and God is calling on men and women to repent, to turn towards him. And what he's saying to these disciples is, listen, there's going to be different responses. The hard heart, the superficial heart. There's going to be a crowded heart that just says, yes, I need to do this, mm-hmm. but they really care more about the cares of the world, the worries of life, than they do about making him a priority in life. And so when we come back after the news, we're going to look at this good soil in Mark chapter 4.
The 30, 60, and 100-fold soil.
The changed life,
yes.
The transformed life.
And what's amazing is God wants us to have abundant fruit. Join us today here at SWAT Radio. You can call us at 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, 1-844-777-7928.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkestone. Listener supported. The Truth.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump says that whatever he decides to do about North Korea, it will be in the best interest of everyone, except maybe the North Koreans.
Perhaps I feel stronger and tougher on that subject than other people, but I listen to everybody, and ultimately, I will do what's right for the United States, and really, what's right for the world, because that's really a world problem.
The president, during an appearance with Canada's prime minister at the White House, among other things, they're discussing changes Mr. Trump seeks in the North American Free Trade Agreement. Regarding the Iran nuclear deal and whether the U.S. will stick with that agreement.
You're going to see very soon. We're going to be announcing that very shortly.
Later today, the president heads to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania to discuss tax reform and tax cuts. The death toll from the Northern California wildfires has risen to 18 with the discovery of a body in a charred home in the Loma Rica area of Yuba County. The blazes have also left at least 180 people injured and have destroyed more than 3,500 homes and businesses. Sonoma County Sheriff Rob Giordano says the outlook not especially encouraging for firefighters.
The wind's going to pick up this afternoon. There's a lot of concerns of where the fire will go. We were doing evacuations all day yesterday and all through the night. So we are not switching operations to anything but life-saving right now. It's all about life-saving and evacuations.
Also at SRNNews.com, the Boy Scouts announcing plans to let girls into some programs. The change means the organization will admit girls to the Cub Scouts starting next year and establish a new program for older girls using the same curriculum as the Boy Scouts. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 17 points, the NASDAQ 8 points higher, and the S&P is better by 2 points. This is SRN News.
Still have plant construction going on northbound on the Main Street Bridge, blocking the left lane there. We have congestion 295 north from before Bay Meadows to Gate Parkway. 295 south from beyond Butler to before Bay Meadows, it's slow there. 95 the north ramp to 10 is slow and traffic's backed up before the Fuller Warren. Partly cloudy, 71 tonight, 87 tomorrow, 86 on Friday, partly cloudy, 84 Saturday.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary, His Light Ministries. As we've been making our way through Matthew chapter 8, those five verses there, 18 to 21. But we're going to kind of jump over here and look at the parable of the sower, the soil, actually.
Yeah.
Because
we're talking about the genuineness.
Yes, this isn't about the sower, it's about the soil.
Yeah, it's about the soil. You're exactly right. And what kind of soil do we have here? What's being produced? And the plants, the things that come up and grow out of this, all the surfacey, the superficial, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, they both produce plants and mm-hmm. they sprout up and they grow. And they look just like the good soil until the thorns come up, the sun comes out, and there's no depth of soil there. There's no true. Listen, every time somebody trusts Christ, it is a miracle. It is a absolute miracle that the Holy Spirit gives you new birth. That is a miracle of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
That He would take a sin-stained, selfish, self-led person and put His Spirit in there and give mm-hmm. them a new birth is a miracle. And so that doesn't happen apart from God's intervention. And that's why the very first thing and the very most important thing you can do for any of your friends that are currently not walking with Christ or not following Christ, that may not be believing in Christ, is pray for them. Prayer is the foundation for any evangelistic work we do. And it's God who breaks the hard heart with His law mm-hmm. and with His circumstances and those kind of things. And so we need to be praying. If you're not praying for unbelievers, what are you doing?
Hmm.
If you're not praying for people that you know do not know Christ, is your hard heart toward them?
Mm.
Have you forgotten what He's done in your own life?
Right.
I mean, I've had that happen to yep. me before, and you get very, you know, you just get busy with life and you become consumed with other things. But God leaves us here. You know, evangelism is one of the few things we won't do in heaven. I mean,
that's right.
We'll be able to praise.
Will be able to do in
we will be praising. We'll have perfect knowledge, mm-hmm. perfect fellowship, but no evangelism.
Right.
There.
Right.
So, anyway.
Well, you know, Doug, and just a little side note here in regard to that. If we're not praying for those that are lost, man, it makes you wonder, Do you have compassion for people?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what you've been saved from, if you've even been saved?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think there's this idea that we somehow had something to do with our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, we want to take credit for it, but it's God who tilled the heart, this hard heart.
Mm-hmm.
We were the hard soil until God got in there and broke it up,
mm-hmm.
and allowed that soil to receive the seed and to take root and bear fruit.
And he can move you from a hard heart, from a superficial heart, and from a crowded heart to a changed heart.
Mm-hmm.
If, like Ezekiel says, you repent.
Yes.
If you turn from being self-led to being God-led. Turn from trusting in your own righteousness to trusting in Jesus. It's about Jesus. Come to him. Call to him. And so, Brad, read just the explanation again. Let me give a quick synopsis of the story. There's a sower who throws out seed. The sower is somebody who sows, who puts down seed in order to reap, which means to gather the plants after it's grown. And so there's a sower, throws it down. Some goes on the hard ground. A bird comes along, takes it, and eats it. Some falls on rocky soil. It sprouts up initially, but the sun comes out, and it wilts.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the sun, because it has no depth of soil,
mm-hmm.
and no moisture, according to Luke in his passage. And then some falls on soil that has thorns underneath. It's thorny soil, and the thorns grow up and they choke out and choke the plant and kill it, and it produces no fruit. But then there's a soil that produces a 30, a 60, and 100 times what that one plant is. And so the disciples scratch their heads and they go, we don't understand this. And Jesus says, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand any of the parables I talk about. Remember, we said parables really were God's judgment. When he used parables, he was communicating mm-hmm. judgment mm-hmm. to people. And we really believe that he's communicating judgment to the people who are rejecting him here. But he's telling disciples something, too, about evangelism in the soil of a person's heart. And so, how does he explain it to him, Brad?
So verse 10, Mark 4, verse 10 says, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Verse 13 says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the one who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have, verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Verse 18, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold.
And so we've been looking at the hard heart, the superficial heart, the crowded heart. That's the hard soil, the rocky soil, and then the thorny soil. And now this, the last three, the 30, the 60 and the 100 producing soil. There's a couple of things that I want to point out, because this passage is also, this parable is told in Matthew and in Luke. And all three of them use different languages when they're talking, different words when they're explaining it. And Mark, he says, the good soil are those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. And the word accept there means to receive as truth. In other words, when they receive this gospel, they receive it as truth.
Yeah, it'd be like you telling me, you know, I made a hole in one today.
And you'd laugh me right out
I
of the studio.
Not accept
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you probably
you
wouldn't.
Know, it is that idea, though, is that you're telling me something, and I either believe it or I don't believe
so
it.
So if a guy comes in here, Brad, dressed like us and just kind of either blue jeans or shorts and a shirt like this, and he goes, hey, you know what? There's an epidemic going around, and, you know, there's we believe that, you know, Ebola is in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we go through an evaluation process. Is this guy credible? Is he, you know, is he crazy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's delusional. Maybe he just, we, and so we kind of decide whether we believe it or not based upon the evidence we see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody comes in here and they're with the CDC out of Atlanta.
And they got a
badge.
And
they've got a badge on. They've got credentials.
They've got a mask on.
And they're telling us they've got gloves on. And they go, hey, guys, there's an Ebola outbreak in this building. First of all, our radar's going to go real high up. I mean, the flag's going to go up for us that, okay, this has some credibility here. When we look at the Bible has been around for a long time. People have tried to destroy this book, and everything archaeologically and historically in the Bible has been validated. It's never been disproved. And so what Jesus is saying here, we have to weigh. We have to weigh this and look at it and accept it. If you believe something's true, you're going to act on that truth. You don't have, you know, you don't have the luxury of going, okay, I believe it's true, but, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. This is serious stuff he's saying, okay? So that's the first thing. Over in Matthew 13:23, it says it this way. Matthew 13:23 says, as for the one that was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit. The word understand means a grasp of something that challenges your thinking. So it takes it a step. It's a grasp of something that's really challenging. So it's not even just receiving as truth. It's acknowledging how challenging it is, but you're grasping it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then in Luke 8:15, it says, as for the good soil, they are the ones who hear the word. They hold it fast in an honest and a good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. Honest means free of deceit and authentic. Good means a very high standard. And then patience means an ability to take a great deal of punishment from evil people without becoming irritated or angry. So you think about all those qualifications that have been put on that. But in all three cases, in all three Gospels, it says those who hear the word, the logos. I mean, you've heard the word. We've proclaimed the word on here numerous times. There's no doubt for most of the people listening that they've heard the word somewhere. The question is, do you receive it as truth? Are you understanding and you grasping it? Are you grasping it free of deceit with an authentic heart with this high standard? And are you doing so with patience? You know, I mean, that's, you bear fruit with patience, which means it's a process. The fruit comes over time.
Yeah, the orange tree didn't produce fruit the day you planted it.
I love the quote you said today. If you're growing, you reproduce. If you reproduce, you're growing.
Yes, that's right. Hey, you want to join us today? We'd love for you to call us, 904-401-1413. If you're outside the Jacksonville area, you can call us toll-free at 1-844-777-7928. If you haven't downloaded the app, go do that. We'd love to hear from you. SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes with my co-host, my brother, my battle buddy, Doug McCary. Hey, Doug, by the way, wasn't it great to see Cody and Roger at SWAT today?
It was awesome, man. Those guys, they do such a good job for us on SWAT Radio, and I was just glad they got to come be a part of the SWAT meeting, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Roger's been, but it was Cody's first meeting, so I was really glad he could be a part.
Yeah, I love it. Love to see these young bucks in there soaking up the word. Well, listen, if you're listening in during this last segment, and it sounds like Doug is maybe in a little bit of a tunnel, it's because he just left me. He just left me in the studio, and he called in. He's listening on. Have you even gotten out of the parking lot yet?
No, I'm in the car, man. I'm getting in my car, but it's good. It's all good.
Hey, well, listen, brother, we're praying for you as you head down south. Why don't you real quick just tell us what you've got going on tomorrow morning? Is it tonight and tomorrow?
It's tomorrow morning. In fact, I would love for people to pray. It's this thing called the Gathering down in Palm Beach County. Down in West Palm Beach, and it's going to be at the Hilton down there, and I'm going to be sharing with a bunch of men in the morning, and would love for you to pray for men who are inviting their some of them unchurched, some of them lukewarm, and some of them just, you know, guys that are battle buddies, but they're coming to hear a message of encouragement, to hear the gospel. They were very clear. They want me to share the gospel, and so I'm going to be sharing from 7 to 9. I won't be sharing that whole time, obviously, but they, you know, give me about 45 minutes to share the good news, and I'll be talking about a life of impact, what it means to follow Jesus. Well, exactly what we've been going over, and you know, you said it this morning, Brad, that this is really an important but a diluted message in our culture of the cost of following Christ, that there is a cost. We want a costless Christianity, and it costs Jesus everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to come to him without it costing us anything. And it really comes from a lack of gratitude more than anything. When you are grateful, you have no demands. When you are grateful for what's been done to you, you willingly say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do."
You know,
it's
Doug,
an arrogant heart that places demands on Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. As we, you know, have been talking about this genuineness of our pursuit in following Jesus, you know, we are desperate to understand as men, even basically what we're talking about here in Mark, this receiving of the truth. And I think it was in Matthew where it says the one who hears the word and understands it, he gets it. And I think what we have in the church today is we have people who don't get it because. And I shared this morning and this afternoon, the greatest pursuit in human history required that Jesus step out of his comfort zone, out of his home in glory, to reconcile us to God. And yet we're going to sit back and tell Jesus, let me first go take care of this or this or this or this, and I'll get around to your agenda. I'll get around to your purposes one day.
And Brad, there is a growing, I mean, growing by leaps and bounds number of younger people who have bought into this garbage, is what it is, that it is legalistic to basically have any kind of cost to follow Christ. And it doesn't make God love us more, and it doesn't make us more holy than anybody else. Our holiness comes from Christ. When God sees us positionally, he sees us through the lens of Christ. That is what makes us righteous. We are not holy. Our righteousness is filthy rags, and you and I both acknowledge that. But there is a clear demand in Scripture that God is changing and conforming us to this image. And when he talks about sanctifying yourself daily, you know, it is a daily denial. I love what you said today. It is Luke 9, I think it's 23. You know, anyone who wants to follow me, deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It is sacrifice. It is this. What was the first thing you said? It was
It's a twofold command. It's the denial of yourself. It's self denial. Yeah. It's self sacrifice, and it's self submission. It says let him deny himself and take up his cross. And I love that, because if I'm going to take up the cross, I got to put down this so I can carry that cross. You know, you think about a cross, it's going to be pretty heavy. That cross is heavy. Well, if you've got the worries of this world in one hand and you're trying to balance the cross in another, it's not going to work.
Having 2 feet and one foot in one boat of the world and one foot in one boat of Jesus, and those boats are going in diametrically opposed directions.
Yes.
And you can't keep your feet in both boats. You have to say, yes, Lord, I'm going up here. Now, listen, we're not talking about perfection in your life.
Yeah.
You're going to fail. But remember what that word I said, patience, it means you're going to bear fruit with patience. That's an ability to deal with somebody who is persecuting you without getting irritated or angry. That's an incredible God-given only kind of strength, it's hard. You just don't witness that apart from Christ.
No, absolutely. I think that, patience, that's coming from Luke 8:15. It says, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And you brought it up earlier in the program. You know, if you've ever done any gardening, you plant that seed, you don't have fruit tomorrow. It takes continual maintenance. And I think that's the heart of the believer today. If it's going to be a heart that is fruitful, it's going to require upkeep. It's going to require maintenance. That's not a works.
No. It's pruning. It's pruning.
I don't know where it is. I think it's maybe 2 Timothy 1, somewhere where it says, guard the good deposit.
No, Paul, that's 2 Timothy 2, isn't it?
Can't remember where it is, but Paul saying, hey, guard the good deposit. This deposit that is in us. You know, when I think of going to take money and putting it somewhere, I'm not just wanting for it to be safe there. I'm wanting it to bear fruit. I'm wanting it to have a return on investment. The seed of the gospel has been planted in those hearts. And that heart has been receptive. It's accepted the fruit. I mean, it's accepted the seed. Now it's meant to bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, then you need to examine the heart. You need to examine the soil.
Yeah. Well, no, you're talking, I think he says it twice. I think he says it at the beginning of 1 Timothy, but also at the end in chapter 6. I think it's the end of chapter 6, Paul says, Timothy, guard the deposit that was entrusted to you. And he says that, remember, on the heels of, hey, for you, O man of God, flee these things. Remember, he says, pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and steadfastness and gentleness. Well, those things that Paul's telling Timothy to pursue, those are disciplines. He's not saying, you know, just, and we have to rest in the Lord helping us through those. If you just say on my own, I'm going to do that, you're not. But no, you ask God, God, help me to pursue righteousness. Lord, help me to pursue godliness and faith and love. And that comes through the Word, because as you pursue God in the Word and you pursue Jesus in a relationship with Him, the more you know Him, the more you love Him, the more you love Him, the more you want to obey Him, and the more you obey Him, the more you produce fruit in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, those things, those are natural, supernatural.
Supernatural, exactly.
Yeah, byproducts of spiritual disciplines. And so you've got a whole generation coming up now who's saying that that's legalism. And I'm telling you, Brad, it is so detrimental to the health, which is already wounded in our culture of the church. You don't see that in other cultures. You know, you don't see it where there's a cost associated with following Christ. Those people in Bhutan and Korea and China and some of these other places, India, they understand. They understand the cost. And so that good soil, if you're listening, follow Jesus. Let that be you. Let that good soil be your. Ask God, God, give my heart good soil. Break up the hard heart. Break up the groggy heart. Break up the thorny stuff, Lord, and use me for your glory. That's the prayer he wants to answer, Brad.
Yeah.
It is. It's the prayer he wants to answer.
Yeah, and really just challenge those out there listening, that are we examining our life as we look? Not, again, this isn't about perfection. It's about direction, but am I today a different man than I was a year ago? Am I growing? Am I bearing fruit? Maybe it's not a lot of fruit. Maybe it's not as much fruit as you want to have, but do you see growth? Because if there's no growth, if there's no fruit, there may be a problem.
Well, I like that quote you said today. Scientists and theologians agree, if something's alive, it's going to grow. If it grows, it's going to reproduce. If it reproduces, it's going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you show me something that is supposedly alive, and for 20 years there's been no fruit, you've got to wonder, is it even alive? It could be the thorny soil, the weedy soil, or the superficial soil.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Great stuff, Brad. So good. I'll be praying for you in the morning. The guys at SWAT, join him at the house of the Jumpin' Jack's House of Food on San Jose Boulevard, 6:30.
6:30, Jumpin' Jack's House of Food. I'll be bringing the word, and we'll be eating some food, some chow. Hey, Doug, I'm praying for you, brother. Safe travels. Join us tomorrow, SWAT Radio. Look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Take care.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.